We're up to Torah Mem Zayin and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 128, the right-hand column, about halfway down the page. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah in Likutei Moran on a pasuk in Novi, in Yoel, where the pasuk says, "Va'achaltem ochol v'savoya v'hilaltem Hashem Hashem alekechem," that the Bnei Yisrael will eat and be satisfied and give praise to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Mi shehu meshuka b'tayva sachila," a person who's steeped in tayva sachila, where the person doesn't eat just for the sake of survival, for the sake of keeping the body together with the neshama, but rather a person eats for pleasure, and a person's always walking around hungry, always thinking about food or showing more of an interest in food than Hashem would want us to show. It's positive that that person is far from honesty. And it's also a fact that that person has midas hadin against them. They have the harshness of Hashem or the judgment of Hashem on them. Gamze simen al dalus, and it's also a sign that chas v'shalom the person is going to become poor. Gam yovoy lidei bizyonos ubushos, and also taiva sachila will lead a person to embarrassment and insults. Kamoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, krum zulus livnei odom. That's the wording in the pasuk, and the Gemara darshins on that pasuk kiven shenitzare chodom labrios. Nishtane ponov kikrum, that as soon as a person has to come on to other people, which means a person is poor, they have to come on to other people for support. Nishtane ponov kikrum, the person's face changes colors like a peacock's feathers, which means it leads to shame and embarrassment. When a person's embarrassed, their face changes colors. So here Rabbeinu Zal says that a person who's steeped in taiva sachila, Rachmona Litzlan, it could lead a person to all of these things. It could lead a person to being dishonest. It could lead a person to poverty, to shame and embarrassment. And also, it could lead a person to have chas v'shalom din against them. Which one? In the beginning? The Gemara darshins it a few different ways. Zulus b'nei odom means people. Zulus means something that's cheap. Zol means cheap. Kirum refers to something that's very high. It means, chas v'shalom, it could mean a person being degraded, lowered, a person's kavod being lowered by people. And the Gemara darshins it that krum also means like the feathers of a peacock, that the people embarrass him and his face changes colors the same way a peacock's feathers are different colors. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'dan, you should know, mi shehu meshaber taiva sachila, a person who's zechet to break taiva sachila," which means that this person doesn't eat for pleasure at all, and they don't think about food more than they're supposed to, and they're not concerned with how good the food is, or how tasty, or how attractive it is, etc., but rather their whole attitude towards eating is simply simply limited to the bare necessity, exactly what the person needs to live and to serve Hashem with. That's their only attention that they give to food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisal yodoy moivsim. By a person being outstanding in this item, a person could be zecha that Hashem will perform miracles through that person. Ki amru chazal, because the Gemara says in Brachos, ksiv asher lo yisoponim. There's one pasuk in the Torah which says that Hashem does not show any favoritism. Uchsiv, there's a second pasuk that says, Yiso Hashem ponov elecho, may Hashem show you favoritism. So the Gemara says it seems to be contradictory. Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Eich lo yese lohem ponim, how could I possibly not show favoritism to Bnei Israel when they behave in an extraordinary way? What's the extraordinary way? Ani omarti v'yochalto v'savoto v'irachto. I commanded them to bless me, to say berachas hamazon, when v'savoto, when they've had a full meal. V'heim medaktikin alatzmon b'kezayis u'b'kebeo. And they're particularly, even when they eat a kezayis, or the size of an egg, they're already making a bracha. That's the literal translation of the wording in the Gemara. The Gemara is emphasizing the fact that Hashem says, I only require them to say a blessing according to the Chumash when they had a full meal, the Savata. And the Jews are makbid to even say a blessing when they had less than a full meal. So shouldn't I show favoritism to them when I see that they don't deal with, this is Hashem speaking, I see that they don't try to fulfill exactly what I told them to do, they try to do even better than what I told them to do. So certainly they deserve to be shown favoritism. This is the way the Gemara presents it. Rabbeinu Zal puts a slight curve into it, and Rabbeinu Zal says, note the wording in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Hashem says, I said, v'yochalta v'savota v'rachta, that you should eat and fill yourself. V'heim medaktikin b'kizayis u'kabeya. And the Jews are particular to limit themselves to much smaller than filling themselves. They're not looking to fill themselves. They're looking to constrict themselves to kizayis and kabeya. Mimtza, shenasi, and this is what the Gemara uses as the basis as to why Hashem would show us favoritism. Nimtza shenasi esponon hu al yedei shibur taiva sachila. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, we see from this Gemara that the whole concept of Hashem showing favoritism and extraordinary behavior to Bnei Yisrael is as a result of breaking taiva sachila, by a person exercising the control of not going for the v'savoto, but rather going for the kezayis or the kebeya. V'ze pirush, Rabbeinu Zal says, with this we could also understand another pasuk, where the pasuk says in Chumash, v'histarti ponai v'hoyo le'echol. Hashem says, I'll turn my face away from the Jews, and they will be eaten up, they'll be destroyed. That's the literal translation. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'histarti ponai, Hashem says, I'll turn my face away from them. Why? V'hoyo le'echol. Because of their eating habits. When a person eats improperly, when a person is steeped in taiva sachila, they get the opposite of favoritism. Favoritism means Hashem looks extra closely at that person. Hashem wants to get, give that person an extra look. Whereas through taiva sachila, through a pegamen achila, v'histarti ponai, Hashem says that'll cause me to look away, to hide myself from that person. Pirush al yedei taiva sachila hu master ponim. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, how does this tie in with what we said in the beginning about honesty and truth? Rabbeinu Zal made a comment that if a person is steeped in taiva sachila, it's a sign of sheker. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, v'ha'oras ponim hu tikun ve'emes b'chinas Yaakov. When we talk about Hashem showing his face to a person, the opposite of hastoras ponim, this concept of Hashem showing a person favoritism or he'oras ponim is a concept of emes, because emes in the Torah, and especially according to Kabbalah, emes means the light of the ponim. Emes represents Yaakov Avinu. Kama Shekosov, as the pasuk says, titein emes liyaakov. That Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of truth, v'hu bechinas tefillin. And we know that Yaakov Avinu is also the concept of tefillin. Ki Yaakov hu tiferes. Because the three avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, are called Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, which means that Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, beauty, Klolius Hagavnin. And Tiferes means a combination of colors. Chesed generally refers to white, Gevura is black or red, Tiferes represents the mixture of both of them, or an entire combination of different colors. And that's Yaakov Avinu. Bechinas tefillin hanikroim pe'er, which corresponds to tefillin, which is also called pe'er, beauty. K'may shekosav, as the pasuk says, pe'ercha chavu shalecha. Hashem said to Yechezkel HaNavi that even though his father passed away, he should wear tefillin during the shiva. Whereas another ovel, or an oinen, is potter from tefillin, by Yechezkel HaNavi he was told yes to wear tefillin, and the word pe'er is used for tefillin. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says that we see that Tiferes is Yaakov Avinu, which is Tfilin, which is Emes, which represents Klolius HaGavnin, which represents Oyer HaPonim. Tefillin represents the light of the face of Hashem. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, that he said he wanted to see Hashem's face, Hashem said to him, "V'ro'isos achoyrai uponai lo yiro." You're going to see the back, and you can't see my face itself. And the Gemara says what he ended up showing him at the end was the kesher shel tefillin. The kesher, the knot of the tefillin, that represented seeing the face of Hashem to the extent that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to. So that the oyer of tefillin represents the oyer haponim. And tefillin is pe'er, which is Yaakov Avinu, which is emes. So that if Hashem says that as a result of being mesakein taiva sachila, I'll show you my face, I'll show you this favoritism, which in Hebrew is called he'oras ponim, nesius ponim, yiso Hashem ponav elecho, it means that the person will be zeicha to the oyer of emes. Whereas if a person chas shalom has the opposite, if a person steeped in taiva sachila, it means they don't have emes. It's an indication of sheker. That's not called taiva sachila. If a person is eating because Hashem said they should eat, if a person shows that if this same food were offered to them on Friday, they would say no thanks. If you pay me $100, I'm not interested in eating all of these kugels and steak and all fancy foods or cakes on Friday or on Wednesday, you can't give it to me for money. And on Shabbos, I'm interested in it. It shows that the person's interest in it isn't because of the food. The interest in this is because it's pleasing to Hashem. The reason why I'm eating this is because Hashem is pleased by my eating it. Proof is that on Sunday, when Hashem isn't pleased, I wouldn't eat it. Put the same food in front of me, the same cake or the same delicacies, and I'll say no thank you. It's out of place. It's not, you know, not the time for it.
Even though on Shabbat, like part of the idea of eating on Shabbat is actually onik.
For sure. True, but I'm telling you, I'm showing you in a certain, even in a gashmius level, that's not called taiva sachila. Even if the person, proof, how do we know? If you say that this person enjoys it on Shabbat and enjoys it on Tuesday also, then it's possible to say that there's a certain level, it's like taiva sachila. But if a person is makbids, if a person during the week doesn't show a major interest in what they're eating. Whatever there is, if there's this, I'll eat this. If there isn't something I like exactly, so I'll eat something that I don't like. So I don't care for so much during the week. I'm not makbid in what I'm eating. Whereas come Shabbos, I'm makbid specifically not to have things that Hashem like, to have things that I enjoy, personally enjoy eating. It shows that it's not, I'm not eating this for personal enjoyment. I'm making sure to emphasize my personal enjoyment when Hashem wants me to emphasize my personal enjoyment. And when He doesn't want me to, proof is, when He doesn't want me to, I don't. Same thing that I would love to have. Sunday, I don't go out and buy it, or Tuesday. And for Shabbat, I do go out. Or for Shabbat, I'll tell my wife that I enjoy eating this and this kind. Please prepare this kind of food because I like it. Whereas Tuesday, again, if a person is zeichet to shleimus tikkun taiva sachila, then Tuesday, I couldn't tell her, make me this because I like it. Tuesday, whatever she makes, it's no big, it doesn't matter to me that much. That's one aspect of this concept of breaking taiva sachila. Another aspect is literally limiting how much a person eats. That even though a person can eat easily a pound of food at a meal, they'll only eat half a pound. Even though that means they're going to leave the table a little bit hungry. What kind of nut? I thought you're supposed to eat to become full. No, you're not supposed to eat to become full. You're supposed to eat to live, period. And to live, you don't need to become full. In fact, the Rambam says that the majority of sicknesses come because a person crosses that line. A person, you know, goes past where they're supposed to go.
What's done about leftovers from Shabbos?
What's done with them?
Is the exact same food.
Does it have the same kedusha as...
No, I'm just saying, like, since we are really eating, you know, big meals other than on Shabbos.
Eat them on Shabbos.
The answer is limited. The impression that's gotten from the Sforim is that a person should definitely eat less quantity during the 6 days of the week than they eat, you know, on Shabbos. There should be a noticeable difference, whether it be the number of courses. On Shabbos, there's a four-course meal, a five-course meal, a three-course, and during the weekdays, it's a much simpler. It's supposed to be a much simpler type of thing, less quantity and less emphasis on the quality. Again, during the weekdays, I don't mind eating leftovers. Shabbos, I prefer not to eat leftovers. Why? Out of respect for Hashem. Not out of respect for me. Out of respect for... Proof is, for me, Wednesday I can eat it. I won't complain.
You but, leftovers on Shabbat, you bring your Shabbat into the rest of the week.
Imagine a sphere of eating to your full, whatever. Says is the point being there are 5 points. Is the point being that you're supposed to train yourself that you get full eating quantity wise less, or you're supposed to feel no, but I know full is this point, and I'm at Dafka stopping earlier before I'm full.
That's
it's
right.
It's the second one, from the way the Rambam presents it, from the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, and from the way Rav Nosson Zal speaks about it in Likutei Tefilos on this Torah. You see him saying that I should train myself to be mistapek b'muat, and that I, in other words, to be able to eat less than what would constitute 100%, you know, full, and be satisfied with it, you know, not look always to be on that side of the fence. Versus the opposite attitude of certain people who could eat a good meal and an hour later they're thinking already about what they're going to have for the next meal, number one, or they're looking for a nash, you know, there's something sweet or something spicy, or where you can tell there's that an interest in food. Food has a major place in their life, you know, from a Gashmiya standpoint.
Is there a problem at all with the times, I mean, as far as a pregnant woman who has times practically, you know, 7 days a week?
I don't know if that's I've never seen it mentioned in Sforum. In other words, I know that it's a fact. We hear from people that there is this type of item that women who are pregnant, some of them feel this kind of an extraordinary urge kind of thing. But here it's not speaking about that.
Or is that just because of things where it's just a 9 month time of that?
I think there's an allowance for that more so than normal.
You have different stories in the Gemara. I think about one who was a Gemara and the time of the day. So does it mean like any person who is specifically that then that means any person?
Chas v'shalom.
A different thing would that mean any person who is heavy or overweight? Does that mean that they're entitled to feel?
My feeling is not necessarily. In other words, proof is from the Gemara that we see the Gemara does mention certain Rabbonim, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who we know for sure was the furthest thing from a Baal Taiva, in any kind of Taiva. And the Gemara says he was heavy. Could be, by some people, Chas V'Shalom, it's a physical illness. There are people who are known to eat, you know, not as much as another person, and yet by them, their metabolism, the way they digest food, or lack of, you know, whatever, different factors, physical or mental or otherwise, that cause them to be heavier than somebody else, not necessarily because they're eating. But here it's talking specifically about the desire, you know, the physical, gashmiest desire for food, or an attitude toward this. There's all kinds of expressions of taivas achila, for which, again, if you look into Sifrei Musar, or Likutei Halachos, or Likutei Tfilos, there he gives some more examples. The difference between Esav and Yaakov Avinu, of Esav coming into a house and saying, Halitenina, shovel the food into my mouth. And the concept of being anxious to eat, the word anxious, in a hurry, that's an example of Taivas Achila, versus the attitude that a Jew has of coming into a house and first washing their hands, first making sure the hands are perfectly clean. Number one, that takes time. Number two, you know, making a bracha, that takes time. Number three, the discretion, looking for a sholem, looking for all the different kashrus, all the laws of kashrus and everything that come into play into a person showing that they're exercising control over themselves, not approaching the food like a behemoth, not diving into it. That's another example of this distinction of taivas achila versus non-taivas achila.
Question about Shimon Bar Yochai said, was he fat? Did he become fat in the cave, or did he become fat after he came out of the cave?
The impression I have is that it's before that, even before he went into the cave. You know, not even before, certainly before. There they had very little to eat. They were on a Bukzer diet. I don't know. I really don't know if it discusses specific timing. Another example that's given about, not the example, the Rav Nosson Zal's Talmud, Rav Nachman Tolchina Zal, it's written, they use him as an example of purity in Achila, in that he never even added salt to his food. there was never an issue of needing any kind of spicing or modification of the taste. However it was, that's how he ate it, and there wasn't that level of interest in the food. That's an extreme case of perfection of Taivas Achila, in a sense. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ve'ikar, so we said that one of the things that a person gets from breaking Taivas Achila is emes, a certain level of he'or asponim, nesiyas ponim, which is synonymous with emes. Ve'ikar ashirus bo me emes. And we know that wealth is associated with truth, with honesty. Kama Shem Chazal, as the Gemara says, Kushto koi. The Gemara says that truth stands up solid. Because the Gemara says that in the Hebrew letters of the word sheker, shin, kuf, and resh, each one of those letters has only one leg, one base. Whereas in the word emes, each one of those letters, the aleph, has two parts of it that touch the bottom line. That, in other words, like it's standing on two legs. The mem also and the tuf also. So the Gemara says emes stands solid, sheker doesn't. V'omru chazal, and the Gemara also says about money, ves hayikum asher baragleihem. There's a pasuk in the Chumash which says that item which gave them their upstandingness. And the Gemara says, what was that? Ze mamoinoi she'olav koi. That refers to a person's money which stands a person up on their feet. So we see the kesher between mamoin and emes. Both are called things that give a person their upstandingness in a sense. Rabbeinu Zal says that if tikkun taiva sachila gives a person emes, it means it gives a person ashirus. And if a person chas v'shalom is nichshal in taiva sachila, it results in anius, poverty. V'zeh shamru chazal, this is also what the Gemara says in Brochus, v'hoyu chayecho tluim. The Gemara says that there's a posuk in the Torah where chas v'shalom Hashem curses Bnei Yisrael. If they won't be good, it says that your lives will be hung. Your life will be hung. And the Gemara darshins, zeh hatoile tfilov. This refers to a person who shows disrespect to the tefillin. He hangs up his tefillin on a hook when he's finished with them, like, rather than putting them away properly in their case. Gam omru, and the Gemara also says that this pasuk v'hoyu chayecho tluim zeh hakoine tvua min ashuk. This refers to a person who doesn't own any fields. He doesn't have his own property, his own agriculture, so therefore he has to resort to buying grains and things like that with cash. He's got to go to the market and buy it with cash. That's a form of anius. That shows a lack of strength, because it certainly costs him more. He ends up paying more than a person who has their own fields. So the Gemara connects these two items, the tefillin and poverty. A pigam in the tefillin, hatoyle tefilov, and poverty. Hainu shahadalus bo alidei pigam tefillin. The Gemara here is making a connection between poverty and being poigem in tefillin. Alidei pigam shelemes. Being poigem in tefillin means being poigem in Yaakov Avinu, we said before, which is he'or asponim, which is emes. Here Rabbeinu Zal is being short, sort of. He's mentioning a lot of concepts which were mentioned in other chapters in Likutei Moran, and he's assuming that you're familiar with the connections as far as what money represents, what emes represents, what each one of these things represent. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'eretz Yisrael she'ikar kaboloso mibchinas Yaakov, the land of Eretz Yisrael, which receives its shefa and its light from the concept of Yaakov Avinu. Kama Yishikosav, as the Pasuk says, Vayeshev Yaakov bo'oretz. Yaakov Avinu lived in the land, and Rabbeinu Zal teaches it, that the light of Yaakov Avinu is what feeds Eretz. B'shvil zeh nikras Eretz Hachayim. It's for this reason that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Hachayim, ki tefillin nikroim chayim. Because we know that tefillin, which is Yaakov Avinu, is also called chayim. Kama Yishikosuv, Hashem aleihem yichyu. That when they carry the name of Hashem upon them, they live. And the Gemara says this refers to wearing tefillin. So we see that tefillin is called chayim, and Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Hachayim, because of the connection, because of the fact that Eretz Yisrael draws from tefillin, from Yaakov Avinu, from Emes. V'zeh shvocho, and this is why the Torah writes in praising Eretz Yisrael, asher loy b'miskenus toichal bo lechem, that it, in the land of Israel, people don't eat bread because they're poor, they eat bread because they like bread. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki lefomim odom oiche lechem machmas anius, v'loy machmas chisorin taivo letanugim acherim. There are times when a person eats bread simply because they can't afford anything better. Bread is cheap, so they eat bread. Not because of lack of desire, not because of lack of taiva sachila, whereas if the person had other things available to them, if they had steak or ice cream or things like that, they wouldn't eat just bread. Whereas the Torah praises the land of Eretz Yisrael, that the people of Israel don't eat bread because they're poor, elo machmas shibur ubitul taiva sachila, but rather because Eretz Yisrael has this emes, this heora saponim, which means the opposite of taiva sachila. In Eretz Yisrael has in it the ability to give a person this lack of desire for extra attention to food, where a person is perfectly satisfied and happy with bread. They don't eat anything more tasty than that. Kihi mekabeles heoro vahashpo mebchinas tefillin, because Eretz Yisrael receives its light and its shefa from tefillin, mebchinas Yaakov, mebchinas emes, shemishom bo ashirus, that's where wealth comes from. Nimtzo mashetoichal lechem levad, this that a person will eat bread alone and be happy with it in Eretz Yisrael, loy machmas miskenus, is not from poverty, elo machmas shibur taiva sachila, but rather because the person rises to a madrega of kedusha where they break the taiva sachila. So what about a person who's living in Eretz Yisrael and finds that bread alone isn't good enough for them? It means they're not yet really living in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Because Rabbi Nezal is saying here that this is the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has in it a level of holiness and a level of wholesomeness where a person can reach a madrega in Eretz Yisrael more easily than in Chutz Laretz, of being perfectly happy and satisfied and enjoying bread, not needing anything more tasty than that. If a person finds that that doesn't apply to them, it means they still have to climb to reach the madrega of connecting with Eretz Yisrael, of really receiving from Eretz Yisrael all the qualities that it has to offer to a person that's living in it. V'zeh pirush Eretz Oicheles Yoishveho. Rabbi Nezal says, with this we can also offer another taich to the pasuk where the Meraglim, when they described Eretz Yisrael, they called it a land that eats up its inhabitants. Rabbi Nezal says, Pirush Shehi Mekabeles Shifo Mibchinas Yaakov. Kama Shekosu Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz. It's an Eretz, a land where Oicheles, its Achila, its Shefa, comes from Yoishveho, from the one about whom the Torah says Yoishev, which is Yaakov Avinu, who is the concept of Emes, the concept of Nesius Ponim. That's where Eretz Yisrael draws its oyer from. Now, just on a side note, we know that Al Pi Kabbalah, it's mentioned many times that Eretz Yisrael represents Malchus, Eretz Miskayim Amaloi, and Malchus draws from Tiferes. We mentioned once that time is called Malchus. Malchus is always a concept of tzimtzum, constriction. When we talk about time, time is a form of constriction. A minute, an hour, a year, whatever it is, it's a keli, it's a tzimtzum like Malchus. The foundation of time, according to the Torah, is 1,080 units per hour, whereby the hour is divided into tatraf chalokim, it's called tuf reish pei, which is 1,080 pieces to the hour, which means that each piece is 3 1/3 seconds. When we say the Birchas HaChodesh, when we announce the Maylad, we say that the Maylad will be this in this hour, this in this minute, and this in this many chalokim. That's what it's called. The Zohar HaKodesh says, where did that number come from? Magic? Some guy one day figured, well, let's say 1,080? Baloney. Tiferes is 1,081. Malchus is considered to draw from Tiferes. Tiferes is synonymous with Emes, we said here. Therefore, Malchus has a number which is one number below Tiferes. If you take out the Aleph from Tiferes, you have Tuf Tuf Reish Pei. That's this 1,080 units. So according to the Zohar Kodesh, when we talk about Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud is called Chachma, He is Bina, Vav is Tiferes, and the last Hey is Malchus. It's called the Yichud of Zeranpin and Malchus, or Tiferes and Malchus. Here Rabbeinu Zal saying that Eretz Yisrael draws its chius from Yaakov Avinu, from Emes, from Tiferes, from Tefillin, all synonymous. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh pirush kihi simlosoi lioiroi." There's a pasuk in Chumash where it says that if a poor man will borrow money from you, and you'll take collateral from him, you'll take his coat as collateral, the Torah, or you'll take his blanket as collateral, then when it comes at nighttime and he needs his blanket, make sure you return it to him. Why? Because that's the only thing he has to cover his skin with. He doesn't have 10 blankets, he's got one. Ubame Yishkav, the pasuk says, what's he going to sleep with? And if you're going to make him uncomfortable and he'll go crying to Hashem, Hashem will take revenge against you. So now the pasuk uses this wording, kihi simlosoi loiroi. That's the only thing that he has to cover his skin with. The Zohar HaKadosh says, do oyer shel tefillin. The word oyer means skin, and the word oyer with an ayin also means leather. This refers to the light of tefillin. Shebo nichnas bechinas tefillin. Into that goes the kiddusha of tefillin. This is what Rabbeinu Zal said. He somehow connected this to what we said earlier. Rav Nosson Zal writes, L'choira ein lo ze pirush, ma chibur yesh linyin ze l'ma shekosev l'malo. It would seem that this is so totally disconnected with what we mentioned earlier. Ach, however, nire kavanose agdoisho, Rav Nosson Zal says, it seems to me that what Rav Nosson Zal intended was, ki l'malo mavoyor shal yidei tefillin shehu b'chinas emes, b'chinas Yaakov, shezeh an ayidei shviras taiva sachilo, ayidei zeh nitzoylin midalus v'aniyus kanal. We learned earlier that a person who is zeichet to tefillin, which is the b'chin of Yaakov, which is the b'chin of emes, how is he zeichet to that? By breaking taiva sachilo, that person will be zeichet to be saved from poverty, dalus vanius. That's what we said earlier. Because we said that ashirus is synonymous with emes. Emes is called standing up solid. And ashirus, the ashirus of a person stands the person up. V'zehu mashehevi mikrozeh. This is why Rabbeinu Zal quotes this pasuk. Kihi simlosoi l'inyin zeh. Connected to what we said. Pirish. Ki mikrozeh ne'mar al ho'oni ve'evyoin. This pasuk is talking about a very poor person. Kihi ksusoi levado. The pasuk says this is the only thing he has to cover himself with. Hi simlosoi loiroi. This is the cover for his skin. Umerames alanius hashchina begalusa. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this pasuk is hinting to the shchina, which is poor in golus. It has nothing to warm itself with, in a sense. Shemishom ikra nius shel Yisrael begolus. That's what causes the Jews to be in a poor state when they're in golus. Kemavoyer betikunim, as the Tikkun Ezor explains. V'zehu kihi ksuso hi simlose lo iroi do tefillin. Hainu shehatfillin hein ikra hasimlo hamagenes alanius hashchino kneses Yisrael. You should know that tefillin is the main, when it says hisim losei lo'oiroi, hinting to tefillin, you should know that tefillin is the main protection against poverty. Against poverty. What does tefillin represent? Emes, Yaakov Avinu. How does a person get to the oir of tefillin? By breaking taiva sachila. To the extent that a person breaks taiva sachila, there's zeichet to nesius ponim, to the oir haponim, which means to the light of tefillin. Ki tefillin mevatlin hadalus, because tefillin destroys poverty. Ki ikra hashefa v'ashirus nimshach al yidei b'chinas Yaakov shu b'chinas emes b'chinas tefillin. Because the main concept of ashirus, or shefa from Hashem, comes through the concept of Yaakov Avinu, which is Emes, which is Tefillin. Kach nira li lefarish. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is how I understand the connection between this pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quoted and what the Zohar HaKadosh says about it, connected to what we learned earlier. V'ze pirush v'nosati esev b'sotcho levemtecho. That's one of the psukim in Kriyashma. Rabbeinu Zal explains, The Tikkun Ezer says, Esav do ayin beis shin. The word Esav, which means grass, is actually a combination of two words. The shin represents the three colored parts of the eye, and the remaining letters, beis and ayin, stand for bat ayin, the pupil of the eye. So that Esav actually symbolizes light. Do klolius hagavnin. This represents the combination of all lights, of all colors. How is a person zoicha to that? How is a person zoicha to true light, to tiferes, the oir of tefillin? Besodcha livhemtecha. Kishetishadeid es habehemius. When you'll break, the word lishadeid means to destroy. When you'll destroy the behema in you, the animal instinct for food in you. Oz yizgale klolius hagavnin. Then a person will be zoicha to this esev, which means total light, perfection of light. Kamashikosuv yiso Hashem ponove lecho. That Hashem will shine the radiance of His face upon you, which means this tiferes, this tefillin, this Yaakov Avinu. By Yaakov Avinu it says, mevakshe ponecho Yaakov selo. That Yaakov Avinu represents the Oyer HaPonim. When a person is zoche to break the behema, to destroy the behema, that word behema is used very often to refer to eating the wrong way. He's eating like an animal. When a person is zoche to beshotcha levemtecha, then a person is zoche to this esev, to the klolius hagavnin, which represents all of these things. Emes is called klolius hagavnin because it goes from aleph to tav. It covers the whole spectrum of light. Whereas, when a person is poigem in truth, beklolius hagavnin, he's poigem in this spectrum of colors, of lights, azai nase miklolius hagavnin busha. Then what happens? When a person receives this spectrum of light properly, then it comes in the form of wealth, or it comes in the form of truth, in a good form. Whereas when a person is poigem in it, they still get this full spectrum of light. In what form? In the form of embarrassment. When a person is embarrassed, they also get this multicolored effect. Ubo olav busha. And then the person, chas v'shalom, receives embarrassment. Hainu anius, which is synonymous with poverty. Poverty is a very good example of embarrassment. Kamay shekosu, as the pasuk says, krum zulus livnei odom. When a person has to come on to other people, livnei odom, zoil, he's poor and he's got to come on to other people, krum, his face changes colors like nishtane ponov lekama gavnin. His face also changes multicolors, kikrum, like this bird. So there's two formats of this. If a person is zoichet to emes, if a person is zoichet to ashirus, if a person is zoichet to tefillin, they have this klolius hagavnin dikdusha. They have the good form of this klolius hagavnin. If a person is poigim, if a person eats the wrong way, if a person is poigim tavas achila, it leads to all of these other things. It leads to sheker, it leads to poverty, it leads to bizyonos and bushos. Vanachnu b'nei Yisrael mekablim hashefa derech eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nazal says, we, the Jewish people, even those who live in Chutz Loretz, still receive their Shefa from Eretz Yisrael. He, Heoras Pnei Yaakov, which represents the light of the face of Yaakov Avinu, Heoras HaTfilin. U'bishvil Zeksiv, and it's for this reason that the Pasuk says, Hanoisein Imre Shefer. The Pasuk says, Naftoli Ayola Shlucha, Hanoisein Imre Shefer. Kishefer zebchinas pe'er. The word shefer in Hebrew means beauty, like tiferes.
Same letters,
no? No, shin peresh. Bechinas tefillin, which is synonymous with tefillin. Hainu shehi noisenes lonu oisiois heoro shekibla mitfillin. Which means that Eretz Yisrael gives to us the light that it received from the tefillin. We said before that Eretz Yisrael, which is malchus, receives its light from Tiferes, from Emes. Now, this Eretz Yisrael, which is the Malchus, distributes that light elsewhere, to the entire world, to the Jews who are even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael distributes. That's this Hanoisein Imre Shefer. Why Imre? The Oisiois. One of the forms of receiving Shefa is through letters. Just as when Hashem created the world, He created it with words and letters. so too when he maintains the world, kiyum ha'olam is also through words and letters. So that in a spiritual sense, Eretz Yisrael spits out letters to the rest of the world. Those letters contain in them the beauty, the shefer, the teferes, which Eretz Yisrael received from Yaakov Avinu, from Emes. V'ze pirush re'e chayim im isha. There's a pasuk that says, enjoy life, look at life, experience life with a wife. Hanoisein, Rabbi Nezal says, Hanoisein imre shefer roshe tevo is isha. Those words that we quoted before, Hanoisein imre shefer, referring to Eretz Yisrael, the first letters of those three words make up the word isha, meaning v'ze re'e chayim daika. How do you get chayim? You get it ki tefillin nikroim chayim, because we learned earlier that tefillin is called chayim. Hashem aleihem yichyu. Remember we said that tefillin represents receiving this life, this heora of life. So therefore, re'e chayim emisha, the light of tefillin, which is what nourishes Eretz Yisrael, that's the light that Eretz Yisrael ends up spitting out to the rest of the world to be mechaya the rest of the world. That's the re'e chayim emisha. Draw this life from the hanoisei nimrei shefer, from Eretz Yisrael, which received it from Emes to begin with. V'ze Naftali ayolo shlucha. Who is the pasuk talking about over there? It's talking about Naftali. Naftali oisi ois tefillin. Rabbi Nezal says that the word Naftali is the same letters as tefillin, because tefillin represents the origin of this hanoisein imre shefer. Tefillin is what gives Eretz Yisrael this beauty, which Eretz Yisrael goes ahead and distributes to the rest of the world.
So how does it tie to Isha? I understand the pasuk, the Rosi Tevos says, but what does Isha, mean?
The pasuk over there says that a person isn't considered really alive until he has a wife. Rei chayim im ish im isha asher ahavta. That's part of fulfillment of life, true fulfillment of life. Rabbi Nezal said that isha is merames, ish, the word isha hints to hanoisein imrei shefer. It refers to the kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, which spits forth this beauty called life. Where does it draw it from? Where does Eretz Yisrael get it to begin with? From Naftali, from tefillin, from Emes, from Yaakov Avinu, from breaking Taiva Sachila. That's a, and could be that's why the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, that it's Eretz Chito, Soira, Gefen, Tena, with the grains. Those aren't the fanciest foods. It's those healthy-looking people that eat all of this grain stuff and everything. And that's what Eretz Yisrael is praised for. Eretz Yisrael is praised, implying possibly again, Eretz Yisrael isn't the land of cream cakes. It isn't. It's the land, the shevach, the seven items from which Eretz Yisrael is praised for is the basic necessities of life, in a sense. The most basic elements representing perfection of achila. You know, achila dikdusha, in a sense. Ukishaonu oichlin shefa emes habo derech Eretz Yisrael. When a Jew who lives even in Chutz Laretz, or a Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is plugged in properly to Eretz Yisrael, and their food and their parnosa is coming from this emes of Eretz Yisrael, from the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'acharkach onu medabrim hilulo ishla kodesh baruch hu bozeh hakoyach. And then we use the energy that we got from the food that we ate, which had in it the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, we use that energy to praise Hashem with, Azai nase shomayim v'eretz chadosho. Then when that person praises Hashem, his words can actually create a new heaven and a new earth. Or they can inject brand new life into heaven and earth. K'moy shomru chazal, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a pasuk where it says, "Lemor letzion amiato." Hashem says to Eretz Yisrael, "Tzion is a nickname for Eretz Yisrael. Amiato, you are my people. You are my nation." And the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Al tikri ami Elohimi." Don't read the word ami meaning my people, but rather imi, read it with me. You, the Jews, are with me, bishutvi, you're my partners. Hashem says, just like I create heaven and earth with my words, you, the Jewish people, also have the ability to create heaven and earth with your words. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says over there. Ki shamayim hachodosh nase al yedei heoras pnei Yaakov. Because how does a person create new Shamayim through Yaakov Avinu? Because what is Shamayim? Shamayim is Eish and Mayim. Chesed and Gvura combined. Mayim is Chesed. Eish is Gvura. Mayim is Avraham Avinu. Eish is Yitzchak Avinu. The combination Shamayim is Yaakov Avinu. Shamayim is synonymous. Shamayim is multicolor. The sky, all the different colors of the sky. So that this Shamayim represents Yaakov Avinu. So Rabbi Nizal says, V'ha'oretz hachadosho na'asayidei Eretz Yisrael. How does a person create, bring new life into Eretz? By drawing from Eretz Yisrael. Shehoileches ha'shefa derech Eretz Yisrael. The person receives his shefa via Eretz Yisrael. Nimtzo sheboro achshov shamayim umazolois acherim. So therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, this person who's pure in taiva sachila, which means he draws his food bigdusha. Where does he draw it from? From Eretz Yisrael. Where is Eretz Yisrael drawing from? From Yaakov Avinu. So this person is receiving from two places. He's receiving from Yaakov. He's receiving from Eretz Yisrael, which receives from Yaakov. Rabbi Nizal says that's synonymous with Shamayim and Eretz. Because Yaakov Avinu is Bechinas Shamayim, this Klolius Hagavnin, and his receiving from Eretz Yisrael represents the perfection of Eretz. This person who receives his Shefa from this pure Shamayim and Eretz, when this person goes ahead and speaks words of Tefillah, his words are able to create a new Shamayim and Eretz also. Because he received his energy, his koyach, from Shamayim and Eretz Kitikunam, when he speaks, when he's mispalel, his words have the ability to create new Shamayim and Eretz. We'll see in a second. Nimtza Shemeshane Hateva. It means he has the power to alter the pattern of heaven and earth, Shamayim and Eretz. Because the pattern in heaven represents what we call Mother Nature. In other words, the stargazers saw that Avraham Avinu wasn't supposed to have children. Or this whole concept of the mazolos, the signs of the zodiac, which imply that this month is supposed to be a happy month. This month is supposed to be a sad month. For this person, this particular time is not a good time for that person. Whereas a person who's able to create Shamayim and Eretz Chadosha means he's not bound by the rules of the standard Shamayim and Eretz. He can change that. Ki achshav nase mazolos chadoshim. Because when such a person gets up to bat, when such a person gets up to daven, he actually has the power to make new, to make changes to the mazolos. Nimtzo shalidei shibur taiva sachila nase moifsim uplois. Therefore, we see from this that when a person is zoche to break taiva sachila, which means Achila Digdusha, which means Achilas Eretz Yisrael, which means Achila that's attached to Emes, to Yaakov Avinu, to Shamayim, that person, when he eats and then he davens, his tefillah has the power to create new, to change Shamayim and Eretz. He has the ability to perform miracles. That's what we spoke about before. Rav Nosson Zal writes now, Gam Zois HaToyro Kosafti Mitchilo Biatzmi. This chapter on Likut HaMoharan also, besides one that we had earlier, Rav Nosson Zal says, I wrote it originally in my own words, in my own notes. V'nimtzu bo kama dvorim v'orim yoiser. And a lot of things were clarified more in my notes than in Rav Nosson Zal's notes, as the way he presented it, which was much tighter and more difficult a little bit. V'gam siyum perush hamikra v'achaltem nechsar kan b'lishone HaKodosh. And also in Rav Nosson Zal's notes, he didn't write the explanation to the pasuk that he started with, V'achaltem ochel v'savoy v'ilaltem. Whereas in the shir, he did mention it, and Rav Nosson Zal wrote it in his notes. U'ma shechosar zeh gilo zeh. And Rav Nosson Zal says, what's missing in one is available in the other. What's missing in Rav Nosson's notes, some things were available in Rav Nosson Zal's notes on this shir. Alkein he'etakti gam nuscha zois shekosafti biatzmi. Therefore, I've also written down my version of this shir, v'zehu, and this is it. This is what he's about to present now, which is going to be this chapter on Likutei Moharan, but explained, number one, more clearly and easily, where you'll be able to understand it better a little bit, more clearer than we had in this first presentation. That's a shame. We'll take this in the next shir.
One question. Don't we know that the Yisrael doesn't go by Mazalot? that you don't have to go according to the Majal and the Zorat.
Yes and no. When a person is a true Yisrael, he doesn't have to go by the Mazalot. When the Jews are in Chutz Loretz, let's say, for example, versus Eretz Yisrael, there's more of a chance of them being under the power of the Mazalot than when they're in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Gemara says, Mi shedor hador b'Eretz Yisrael, doime kemi sheyesh lo eloka. Whereas hador b'Chutz Loretz, doime kemi she'ein lo eloka. That a person physically living in Eretz Yisrael has a better chance of not being dictated to by the Mazalot than a person in Chutz Loretz. Here he's showing you why, what the connection is. And here again, there are people who live in Eretz Yisrael who are less attached to Eretz Yisrael than some people in Chutz Loretz. If a person's living in Eretz Yisrael and living as a non-Jew, Chas V'Shalom, he's not really living in Eretz Yisrael. Understand? So I'm saying here he's telling us what the essence of Eretz Yisrael is that's supposed to give you these koichos, that's supposed to give you miracle. Rabbeinu Zal said in a turn of Kutimran earlier that Eretz Yisrael is Bechinas Nisim. Why? Here he's showing you, because Eretz Yisrael has this power of tikkun taivas achila, therefore it can raise a person to a level where that person should be able to perform miracles.